Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Let's Talk. And this is the first day of Spring Forward. My. I know somebody was probably late today. Oh, my goodness. I pray that there was not too many people late for work. I pray that there was not too many people late for whatever it was, but that they were early. I'm here to tell you, that extra hour that we get when time goes back, oh, it feels so great. But sometimes that extra hour, spring in Florida, is like, what? Okay, anyway, let's get back to the program. Let's talk. I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and lead us in whatever the Lord has given her. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about prayer, God's word, the authority of words, and much more. So I thank God for each and every one of you, for your God-given prayers, for your obedience to God, and for you springing forward. See, that would have been a great message for today, but that wasn't what the Lord gave me. Okay, Minister Sheila, if you can go ahead and lead us in prayer, and we thank you for whatever God has given you. And don't forget, everyone, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Minister Sheila.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. And I want to thank each and every one of you that is listening today, and however the way you are listening to the program. But God, I thank you, and thank you, and I thank you. And I thank you for all of us, for the whole entire world that you have created for us. Thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And as always, we can never thank you enough, can never praise you enough, can never love you enough for the way that you have brought us through this world that you have created, that the devil, demons, and all the ungodly people is trying to ruin, is trying to destroy, is just trying to take over, to misuse what you have created for the people, that yet some of us don't understand or just refuse to understand that the way of life is through you, God, our Father and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus. Lord, I give honor to you. I give honor to you for all the world, that I pray that they will see the light, they will see the love, they will see the understanding, they will lead and live the life of God, our Father and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, that you gave your only Son that we might live, that he might help us to learn to cast out the sins, the evilness, the ugliness, the devil, and to learn that you are the way, that to go to the upper house and the upper room, that is the blessed, safe, and spiritual way, and not to go down in the devil's pit and the hell of damnation that he is trying to take your people to. Lord, I thank you for Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Margo McCoy. I give you your praise to each and every person on this earth. As I say that you gave life to today that you didn't have to, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to thank you for them, although some might thank you and some just refuse to, but I'm thanking you for the whole entire earth, the world that you have made. Lord, I thank you for my sisters, my brothers, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my nieces, nephews, uncles, aunties. Lord, I thank you for each and every person. I thank you for my bloodline family, also my spiritual family, for my neighbors, my coworkers, or just the people I pass by, I drive past in the streets that I don't know. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your protection, for the life that you give us, and to bless us no matter what we're going through, no matter what your sickness is, your illness is. Give it to God. Tell it to God. Pray it to God. Give it up to God. Put it in His hands. He can create anything that will take away whatever your illness is, whatever your pain. He has the prescription. He has the medicine that can ease all of your aches and pains and your illness and whatever your problem is, your situations, your family matters, on your job, in your neighborhood, in your household. He can even help you to cure yourself. No matter what we're going through, ask the Lord God and the Father to protect you and to show you the right way, to lead you through the life that He has for you, not the one you think you just got it going on. To just know God can take you through better life, better situation than you could ever imagine. Lord, I ask you to bless this government, to remove this corruption, to let them know they are for all the people, not their just hand-picked people, that when they can't get their way, that they do things and try to do things or create things or take away things to hurt other people just because they figure they can. Thank the police. I ask you to please protect us from the law enforcement that is misguiding, misusing, and their duties of life, their duties of their job on people to just because they have a badge, that they just mistreat people, they just do them all wrong. Lord, I need you to let them know you are for all, to treat us all the same and equal way, to treat us as you're supposed to, not as you want to. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for each and every person in the place. I thank you for bringing us to this day. And Lord, most of all, I thank you for another day. As Apostle Elect said, another day that you have brought us into this world, another birthday, another day that we didn't have to. And to bless the families of family members, of loved ones that did not make it to today. They might have been here yesterday, last night, earlier this morning, but yet they are not here, Lord, now. But I need you to take them through whatever situation they're going through to let them know you are the answer, you are the way, and you can show them the way to go and the way to do things and the way that you have put out for us and to accept it and appreciate it, because I know you will be glorified after you let the Lord lead you, you know, not follow the devil. Follow the Father and Son the right way, and He will bless you with more than you can ever imagine. You will see the light better than you have ever seen them before. You will feel the glory and the joy better than you have ever imagined, the feeling that it is so good, so magnificent, so powerful, that you can't really explain it in all words, because you could never have enough time to explain the glory and the fullness and the love that God can put through you, on you, and for you. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, God, and to bless these schools with this little, this big infection that's going through. I need you to bless the world, Lord, for all diseases, all these things that's happening to people, that people are doing to others just because they might get infected, that they don't give a care how they misuse this ugliness and put on other people because they have it, they're going to infect other people. Lord, I thank you, and I ask you to bless us all and to cure us of all this evilness and ugliness that the people here of these demon devils is trying to use, to misuse your people. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you forever and ever. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Lex. Dr. Cecilia Kaiser.
Thank you, Minister Sheila, for that prayer. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you made sure that you were available this morning for ministry. It's such an honor to be available for God. And that in itself is just an awesome thing to know that you have afforded God this time to dedicate yourself to ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you once again for praying with us and praying for us. And so, of course, we know it's the two things that I am grateful that God reminds me of, and that's the fact that I need him and that I love him. I need thee. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I really, 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 and if I could, I could say really so many more times, I really do need God. I really appreciate the fact that God loved me so much that he even allowed me and allows me to come to that reality. You know that there are some people that don't realize that they need him. There are some people that don't even want him. And so I remember years ago, Apostle Sandra Thomas, preaching a message. And also, Prophet Empine preached it as well. It's wanting, actually wanting God. You know, we want water, we want soda, especially some of the Kaisers and Seabirds. When it comes to these Pepsis and RCs, that's a whole nother message. But to need is a word that means to require something because it is essential and very important. It's where circumstances in which something is necessary or that requires some course of action is a necessity. It's not just something that we want. It is something that we require. It's something that the body demands. The body needs water. It's something that in ministry it demands soul winning. It's something that in relationship it demands, like we talked about this past couple of weeks, dealing with the requirement, the necessity for honor and respect. We need to understand that there is power in a word and a word and words. Many people would say, but most people, before they speak or before they do whatever, they not only may sing a song or a melody, but they pray. And you're right. But one of the things that I'm honored to know is that when Minister Sheila prays, I'm in agreement with that prayer. And that when she prays, I have prayed. And I thank God for, many may say, but you and Minister Sheila don't even pray alike. But I think some of you may have heard of something called individual prayer and corporate prayer. And one of the hardest things that I've noticed to do is for people to agree in prayer. And that's why I don't mind when Minister Sheila prays and then other people may pray as well, because that's okay as well. But because we're united in ministry together on all of the dates and times that God gives us, for the record, I just want you to know that when Minister Sheila prays, that is my prayer. And I thank God for her sharing those words, because that's what they are. They're words, they're supplication, they're a petition to God. And so there's power in the spoken word of God. There's power in the prayed word of God. There's power in the worship of God. We've got to realize the power of the words that are spoken, even by certain people. When you're in a certain position, a certain office, or you hold a certain title, there's power in your words that is sometimes and oftentimes and many times more powerful than another. For example, how many of you know that in some homes it makes a difference if your mother says something versus your father versus the wife or the husband or a sibling or a relative that asks you to do something? How many of you have heard your parents say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that? And sometimes the kids may do it and sometimes they won't. But even some parents, when they ask something, command something, or demand something, the reaction from the recipient could be different because the weight of what that person says or the person has said it is different. So, yes, a mother and a father are both parents of a child or children. But what about in that home where a parent says, don't make me tell your mother, don't make me tell your father, or when a mom says, okay, you just wait, I'm going to tell your father. And then the children start to panic, because in that house, when something's elevated, as they would say, to the father, they know they're in trouble. Well, growing up in my house, it didn't matter whether it was my mother or my father, because they both carried that same authority. We respected both of our parents, our mother or our father, because when it came to discipline, the weight of their words and their discipline was the same. See, my daddy, most people don't understand, they called whoopings capital punishment and all like that and things of that sort. Well, my dad would whoop us. That was his discipline. My mother, oh, my goodness, she might whoop you, but sometimes you'd want to beg her, can you just whoop me and get it over with? Because sometimes she could put you on punishment, and boy, whether it was 30 days without television or whether it was 30 days where you couldn't go outside, and it seemed like that was the time when your friends had the most fun. And when they thought they was doing us a favor by playing outside the window so we could watch and could see them, that wasn't always what was best for us. Sometimes that was the worst thing, that I had to sit in the house and look out the window and see you having a good time. Or sometimes the punishment, if it was dealing with education because of something we did at school, maybe for 30 days I had to read the dictionary, or the encyclopedia, and create sentences and words. Or maybe I had to do some math. Maybe I had to do something dealing with whatever it was I was being disciplined for at school. So sometimes, yes, we may have said, can we just get the whooping and get it over with? Because at that time, we didn't understand that although we may have been writing sentences 1,000 times, 100 times, or whatever, it was a type of punishment. It was also a type of way for our parents to educate us and sometimes even share our knowledge with them. Now let's think about how words and other positions mean something and carry a type of authority. Well, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees had authority when it came to the word and when it came to the church. One in particular situation I want to talk about. Think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and what they were saying about Jesus and the different things that they were saying about Jesus. It had weight and it had authority, but not like the weight and the authority of Pontius Pilate, who was a Roman governor under the Emperor Tiberius. Just think of when he was the type of judge that stood over the trial, because that's what it was, for Jesus. In Matthew 27, verses 11 through 28, here are some of the words that was spoken. In number 11, it talks about how Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "You have said so." See, when the chief priests and the elders had accused Jesus, him answering to them was just him answering to them because he could, because he was Jesus, the Son of God. But think of this. Verses 12, 13 through 14, I'm going to read. "And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, 'Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?' But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor." See, Jesus at that time, in response to the things that were being said, he could have called or spoken or said, "Come," and the angels, the archangels, the this or that could have happened, and it would have been over. Not only for Jesus, but for his accusers, because he had the power in his mouth to destroy every accuser. He had the power in his mouth to stop it right then. But because of love, he stood there and he took on the very accusations that mankind, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, see, people in authority and people in positions that spoke ill of him, but guess what, that accused him. But still, what they said did not have the authority of what the governor's seat brought. See, verse 19 says, "When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat," see, that position of authority, "even his wife came to him and told him, 'You know this man is innocent, and I've suffered various dreams and various things today.'" See, even his wife knew the authority that her husband held when he sat on that judge's seat. See, the elders and the chief priests and all of them, their authority was, you know, authoritative in the church, but it didn't have the authority that Pilate had. Even when the people answered him and said, when Pilate had asked them, which of the two did they want to be released, talking about Barabbas, and Jesus. They didn't say crucify him for Barabbas, but they said crucify him to Jesus, the innocent one. And when Pilate said, "Why? What crime has he committed?" they still shouted even louder, "Crucify him." And see, still, what the words that they were saying didn't have the authority to do anything. But when Pilate, Pontius Pilate, who sat on the judge's seat, when Jesus submitted to Pontius Pilate's authority on a judge's seat, when Pontius Pilate answered the people and let them know that that innocent blood would be on their head, that it would be their responsibility, and that that blood would be not only on them but on their children's children. When he allowed Barabbas to be released, and he allowed Jesus to be crucified based off of the authority that he had on the judge's seat, my. We must understand positions of authority that we sit in. We must understand that as parents, there's words that we speak that have authority, not just in the heavenly realm, but here on earth. We must understand that as a spouse, there are words that we speak that have authority. We must understand as clerics and clergy, there's words that we speak that have authority. Things that are spoken in the White House and in politics and on your job and in the classroom and in the streets and in your home and in what we think is mere conversations that have authority. God has given us the power and the authority in our tongue. We have to watch what we're saying. We have to watch what we're speaking. How often do we need to just shut up? How often do we need to understand that when we agree with someone's words, like I said, I agree with Minister Sheila's prayer, that there's a responsibility that goes with praying, just like there's a responsibility that goes with agreeing with what was been prayed. We must understand that sometimes when we don't say anything, although we didn't say a word, we still agreed, whether it was right or it was wrong. We must understand that there's many ways to speak agreement. There's many ways to show that our words are, although they may be nonverbal, they're in agreement. When you don't vote, you have spoken. When you do vote, you have spoken. When you make up an excuse and say, oh, I don't vote for this or this or that, or you say, I couldn't get off of work, you have spoken. You have said that what Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and Emmett Till and so many others have done to pay the price for our authority in voting wasn't that important to you. You know, we have incentivized voting the day that we became eligible to vote. Now, why do I say it's been incentivized? There's blood that was shed for your right to vote, for my right to vote. There was dogs that bit people and attacked people because of our right to vote. There's people that were lynched and hung on a cross because they were hung on a tree. People will say, well, that's not really a cross. I think you need to check back in history to see not only what crosses was made of, to see how many people were actually hung on a cross versus a tree. But that's a whole nother message as well. If you claim that you're so informed, so this or that, and that you have authority in the streets, you have authority in your home, but yet you're not voting. You've spoken. You've spoken and said to me, this is Cecilia speaking, that you disrespect and you do not honor what people did for us, for our right to vote, for our right to go to school. And I know, yes, in some of the inner cities, some of the books are still way behind. And you can go to other neighborhoods and they're getting the latest books and the best books. But still, we have the ability to be educated. Me and my sisters are from the inner city. We went to some of those schools that didn't have the latest of the greatest. There is many in our family that are well-educated women, that are teachers, that are preachers. And there are some that have been educated by the streets and in the streets. But yet, my father, my earthly father, one of the things that we didn't know growing up was that he didn't know how to read. He used to make me read the newspaper for him, and when his stepmother would come, she would make me read and stuff for her, so forth. It used to really annoy me as a child because I thought, why are they making me read for them all the time? I mean, can't they read for themselves? But the fact was they couldn't. And so as I read for them, I myself was learning and becoming a better reader, and I thank God for that. There were many people that mocked me and teased me. They thought, you know, calling me disco nun or this or that nerd, that it bothered me, or that it was this or that. Their words could have been more powerful if I would allow them. But because my parents taught me the importance of education and I had successful women in my life, my cousins and my aunts and uncles that were educated women, it made me, you know, not really care. But when I think about I was in good company because they mocked Jesus after he had been condemned to be crucified. They mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of Jews," and they spit upon him. They did all manner of weakness and all manner of wickedness towards him. And the reason that I said they did all manner of weakness is because most of the time when people are mocking you, it's a weakness. It's their own self-esteem issues, their own self-concept, their own self-identity issues, their own insecurities, because some of them want to be you, but yet they're acting like they're mocking you, when in actuality there's jealousy and covetousness and things of that going on. So it's a type of weakness in them that they don't understand. But yeah, let's talk about how we need to teach one another and the various youth the meaning, whether it's intentional or unintentional, of words. Words that we call one another. Words that we say about one another. That we sing. Can you think about some of the lyrics and some of the words that we hear on today? If I tell somebody they're my BFF, my best friend forever, that's a good thing. But what about if I'm calling that person my end? For some people, they just complimented me because I call them my N-I-G-G-A. Seriously? Seriously, you want to take a word that was actually created for the very reason people were killed and spit upon and dogs attacked them and they were hung, and they were tortured for. But, no. Why would you want a word that had that type of connotation to line up with you? And for the record, a word is an idea or a feeling that invokes an additional meaning to something. It's a type of undertone, an overtone, an implication, a type of secondary meaning. It's a type of abstract meaning, or it intensifies the meaning of something or determines the object's concept. I mean, just like Minister Sylvia oftentimes tell people about how we have a desire to say that I apologize versus I'm sorry. Because to apologize means to express regret of something that one has done wrong. And so although sorry can mean the same thing, we have to understand that unlike I apologize, to apologize about something, there's not usually something connected to it. People don't say, oh man, he or she is an apologize, or he or she is an apology. But they will say he or she is sorry. And it has this pitiful type of scorn or ridicule to it. If someone was to call you sorry, it could mean that they are saying you were sorry because you regret, or you're showing penitence for something, or it could mean something derogatory, that they're saying you're in a sorry state of affairs. So that's why oftentimes I'll say, you know, I apologize, because I'm not going to give people room to try to discredit what God has created, for God created me. Some people call, oh, that's my bee. Seriously, you want to be called a female dog? You want to be called something of that unpleasant manner? Because God made you a king or a queen. Or when someone calls a guy the B word, that's a despicable person that's called, excuse me for those that may get offended, a bastard. Why would you want to be even associated with a word that calls you basically as some type of animal or a weasel or a wretch or some type of wrongdoer or something that's a lowlife like that? Some people call each other my dog. A dog is usually a pet or something wicked or something unpleasant or something that persistently comes after someone. Or even some people call people dogs that act lazy or that fail to work as hard as they should. Some people say, but no, I'm not talking about the D-O-G dog. I'm talking about the D-A-W-G. What? D-O-G dog versus D-A-W-G dog is the slang for dog. So that means you call them, you know, my man, my buddy, my dude. Well, to me, that's just as bad as when they were calling people N-I-G-G-E-R, which was supposed to be a dark-skinned person, but not just a dark-skinned person. It was supposed to be a derogatory. It was dehumanizing that group of people. And now we want to call someone my N-I-G-G-A when it's just a connotation or a type of paraphrase of the very word that was given to people of African-American heritage that in so many ways meant that they were saying that you lacked education, that you lacked respect. You know, they'd be like, but no, I'm calling him my homie. So why you can't just call him your homie? Why you just can't call her your girl? Why you just can't call her, you know, oh, yeah, that's my BFF, my best friend forever? Why would we take words that were actually set up and created for that of a derogatory nature to try to put a positive spin on them? No, why don't we leave those words right where they are? We have to understand the arsenal of a word. We have to understand the power of the words and the names that we use. Imagine this. If you're going to battle, or you're in a battle with someone, or you're in a fight with someone, somebody brings a knife, that's a real knife. I mean, the kind that they use to cut things up in the out in the forest, or a butter knife, or someone brings a fork, and then someone else brings a gun. and then someone else brings a tank. Now imagine one of each one of those things in a different person's hand, and each one of them have it pointed towards you or someone else. Now imagine each one of them get one swing, one poke, one stab, or one shot at you. One of them is going to be more dangerous than the other. If someone pokes you or stabs you with a knife or a fork, you may live. And more likely, you would, depending on where they did it. And it could be one that causes you harm, but it didn't kill you. But imagine that tank aimed at you, and all they need is one shot. No matter where you get shot at, because you'd have to be pretty, pretty far away not to die from the impact of that tank. Well, the same way, Minister Silva and I were talking about the words nosocomial infection. Now, I've seen the words nosocomial infection either make a career or break a career. Meaning that if we're talking about an infection that you acquired in the hospital because of this or that and the person dies, there's people that have gotten sued. There's hospitals that have gotten sued where people have lost their jobs. People have closed down facilities for the use of those words. But yet if there was someone that did something in a positive nature to prevent the nosocomial infections, I've seen those people get awards and I've seen those people get promoted and things of that sort. Now let's come over here on the another side. I've seen people get divorced for irreconcilable differences. I've seen people get divorced for domestic violence. I've seen people get divorced for infidelity and alienation and things of that sort. But I've also seen people that have gotten a divorce that they were able to get along afterwards. But I've also seen those who couldn't because of the words that were used, the things that the person may have called them and said about them that they could not recover from. There's words that a husband or a wife or a girlfriend and a boyfriend or a sister and a brother or a cousin and an aunt can say to each other that it may take a while, if ever, they're healed and recover from it. Minister Sylvia, Minister Sheila, Apostle Sandra, I've heard them say in the past about how they had to separate themselves from people until they were healed. You know that there's people in your family that sometimes you highly respect that can use words or say something they heard that's not true, that can scar you, and sometimes it can scar you for life. And yet there's other words they could use that would promote you for life. My cousin, Minister Margo, my cousin, Minister Tony, my cousin, Apostle Sandra Thomas, my aunt, baby sister, my mom, even Minister Silver, just different people, they said stuff to me in my lifetime that they don't even realize that when they said it, it was words of encouragement that may have encouraged me to go on. There's things that people have said to me as a young child that I still remember today. There's a smile or a hug that implied words that encouraged me, that caused me to be encouraged. But yet there's others that have said things about me or my family members or my parents that they said that I had to go before God to be healed from. And see, what amazes me is that people don't understand the power of their words. It's like that poke or that stab or that tank. Some people don't realize that the things that come out of their mouth, the spoken words that come out of their mouth, have just created a spirit of murder in the supernatural realm. Because, see, there's people that were accused of things, like Emmett Till, that caused him to be tortured and lynched and killed, a young kid, a 14-year-old kid who 65 years later, they finally passed a bill that says lynching. It's wrong. It's unlawful. There's journalists that have died for our rights, whether it's Elijah Lovejoy in 1837, or John Stevens in 1913, or George Lee in 1955, or Lamar Smith in 1955, or Dr. Thomas Brewer in 1956, or Herbert Lee in 1961, or William Moore in 1963, or Medgar Evers in 1963, or Lewis Allen in 1964, or James Chaney in 1964. There are people that have died because of the accusations or one or just because of the unimplied words that were spoken or declared because of someone's civil rights, whether it was a right to vote or whether it was a right to be able to go to school. I mean, even in 1966, as late as 1966, Robert Spike was killed. Robert F. Kennedy, a presidential candidate in 1968, was killed. Fred Hampton in 1969 was killed by the Chicago police. I mean, there are people with words that were spoken or implied because of the color of their skin, the way that they spoke, or the things that they did to say that we have a right to vote, that we have a right to live here or there, we have a right to be treated humane and in a humane manner, whether it was written or spoken. The word and words that we speak, that we write, because the Constitution was written, there's things that we sing, calling that person this name or that name, and people dancing to it and dropping it like it's hot and picking it up when it's cold. Those are words that we are allowing to get into our inner man that is corrupting us. There's words that cause us to stand. There's words, whether they're verbal or nonverbal, that causes us to take action. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, there's fruit to our words. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Proverbs 12 and 8, there is that speaketh like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. What type of words are you using? What type of words are you saying? When you speak in the position that you're in, when you speak based off of the authority that God has given you, when you speak to God's people, those that he created, those that you believe are saved and those that you believe aren't, because it's all about what God believes, what are your words saying? What are your words doing? Are they causing life or are they causing death? If they're causing death to something evil and wicked, hallelujah and amen. And I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about your word causing death to prejudice. Your words causing death to institutional racism. Your words causing death to institutional sexism. Your words eliminating and annihilating the very wickedness of things that should not be. Your words promoting love, your words promoting respect, your words promoting unity, your words promoting others. That's good. Well, we're running out of time, and we may continue with this on next week because there's more things that I believe that God wants to talk about in dealing with the power of words, the power of the words spoken from our tongue, the powers of words prayed and sung. So at this time, I'm going to turn the program back over to Minister Sheila for her to share and open up the lines and allow people to share and just obey God. That's all I have, Minister Sheila.
Thank you, Apostle. Say thank you, thank you. But as you say, it is so true, so real, and so much needed. From as long as I can remember, I remember it's my moms, my aunts, and my neighbors at the time. Well, your neighbors was just like family. The word of your mouth, out your mouth, you just don't know which way it going to be taken, how it's going to be used, how it's going to be accepted. Your words out of your mouth into someone else's ears, you never know the effect it might have. Might have good, might have bad. One thing that I remember that my mom taught me growing up, because some of us takes the words that people say and it's just torment them, as Apostle said. My mom used to tell me, take their words and let it bounce off your ears. Don't take the words. Their words, it's just, she say, block them out, blind them out, look at them, walk away. But I turned it around that I took what they saying and I bounced them back to them. Because when people can take their words to try to hurt you or harm you, if you take it in, they succeeded. I took it and misused it in a crazy way that my mom told me. And it was so awesome to me. It came out to be so beautiful that I treasure her to this day. When people take their word to misuse you, to harm you, to hurt you, the best way to make it hurt them back, laugh at it. They used to call me so many names and this and that because I was always by myself. Till I'd be up there laughing at them. And then I helped them talk about me. You're going to take your words to hurt me, to harm me, but I misuse you with your words. While you talked about me, I helped you talk about me. While you talked about me, I laughed and talked about me. And it's just sometimes the words are taken in. And as the apostle said, it can disadvantage you. It can hurt you. It can harm you more ways than one. But when you have people around you, that some of their words can help you, use them. Because I think today, like I used to say, Mom, that hurts so bad. It hurts because you're listening. It hurts because you're taking it in. It hurts because you're letting it get to your feelings. Take yours and put them on lockdown. Put that block on it. Lock them up and use that boomerang and throw it back. The words out of people's mouths can help you, but if you take them in, they can hurt you. I just want to say thank you, Apostle. Thank you, thank you. Because word of mouth, you just don't know which way it can go, which way, what it would do, and how it is. As it always say, watch what come out your mouth, because it can help you, but it can also hurt you and others. I'm going to open up the line now. I just had to say that because it hit home so bad, so much on the right way. But open up the lines. If there are anyone that has anything to say, anything, a testimony or anything on the words that the apostles brought out to us of knowledge today, your time is now. Mine is open.
Good morning, Saints. Peace be unto the Saints. This is Minister Margot. I just want to praise and thank God for another day, for another Sunday, and for another Blog Talk Radio show. This has been a great message from Cecilia today. It's just really touched my heart. I've been struggling with this whole issue about words, and it's been with me since I had the honor. Can you hear me? Okay, I'll keep going. I just wanted to add that my mom used to say, and she said something that has stuck with me about words. Her statement was to us, words once spoken cannot be taken back. Words once spoken cannot be taken back. So we need to be very careful about what we say, because words are powerful. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Minister Marco. I appreciate your words. Is there anyone else that has anything that they want to say? Okay, well, I just want to thank you, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and Minister Margo McCoy, and to all that might be listening that cannot talk. Because I know how that is. I'm be at work listening and can't say nothing. But I always get an earful. I just want to say, Apostle, you have anything else you want to say before we close out today?
I just want to say I thank you for your prayers. I thank God for Minister Margo reminding us about once it's out there, it's out there. And even when I was active duty in the Army, that was one of the things that they constantly taught us was the power of words, the authority of the positions we stood in for words. And it's just, once again, the word, pray the word, sing the word, stand on the word of God. That's it.
All right. I thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want to thank God. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Okay. I just want to thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, Father, and the Son, Lord Jesus, for the world that you created. And yet, you choose still to let us be your daughters and your sons and to give us life. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. I want to ask you all to tune in to next Sunday, to each and every Sunday that the Lord has blessed for us to have lost Blog Talk with Let's Talk. For the Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also on Monday nights, which is on Blog Talk and also Facebook on some nights, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Sheila Kaiser with Iron Sharpening Iron, Smiles 3E, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also on Fridays with Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and also Facebook at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now I just want to say, God, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for us to be able to forever praise your name and to never forget. The first thing when you can open your eyes or feel you're waking up and saying, God, Father Jesus, I thank you, because I know yet so many did not see today. And I find that I find a foundational scripture, is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And remember, we are nothing, nothing without God. So tell the devil to get in the back seat and just take the trunk and hang on to the tailpipe, because you can't ride with me. I am riding with the Father and the Son and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, and have a blessed and safe day, hour, month, year. I say we are nothing. Bye.